Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Context Machine, episode number 692. I'm Brian Chaffin.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. Hey, go check us out at our online home, contextmachine.io. But just to be clear, don't do it this second because we're all together for the show. Do it afterwards.
Well, like if they're they're listening, but then they've got their device in front of them, they could.
Oh, right. They might be doing second screen viewing.
Yeah. Listening. Well, I mean.
Okay, that's fair.
It could be first screen listening. I mean, you know, we have to figure. I hate to break this to you, Jeff. We have to figure that there are a lot of people who listen to us while they're doing other things.
That doesn't even make sense to me. Why? Give me one good reason why people would do other things while listening to us when they know full well they should be focusing on every single word you say.
That is an excellent point, but the reality is that the tech giants and their damned algorithms have sapped our attention spans. So, you know, no one can do just nothing.
I'm bored. Let's do something else.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's working.
You can also use contextmachine.io to reach out to us or find us on Mastodon at Context Machine or on Blue Sky at contextmachine.bsky.social.
Also, today's episode is sponsored by Framer, and I am so excited to hear more about Framer later in the show.
I will tell you more about them, in fact, later in the show. Yeah, right. By the way, this week we sent out, not we as in Jeff and I, but the other we, as in me and my fellow authors, we've sent out, the paperbacks for our, anthology Neosynthesis. And I know that there are some people listening to the show who backed our Kickstarter. Thank you very much. We have sent them out. I think they're all currently scheduled to be delivered between December 2nd and December 6th, for what that's worth. And then the hardbacks will be coming up soon.
Awesome. I am very much looking forward to getting my copy in hand.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. I know you backed us. I thought about you as I sent out your order.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah. All right. So now. That said, let's talk about Tim Cook.
Pop music?
Nope.
Oh.
Tim Cook?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's talking about Tim Cook.
They are.
No, they're not really. But there are some rumors and counter rumors talking about him preparing to step down possibly as soon as the spring of 2026.
And, yeah.
And we want to talk about that.
I think we should talk about that. Yeah, when I saw those reports popping up, and I believe the first report came from Financial Times, I was skeptical. And not because I don't think Tim Cook is ever going to retire. Of course he is.
Of course.
But, I mean, one way or another, everyone retires.
Yes. Well, no, you could be fired or resign or quit.
Well, I'm talking about in the more grand life thing.
Yeah, mostly pedantic.
Mostly,
yeah. Anyway, regardless, Tim Cook is 65. Of course, mm-hmm. He's going to be retiring, and he's probably. I would be flabbergasted if he was here for five more years. I would be flabbergasted if he waited that long.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's if I were a betting person,
I am
the and you are.
Yeah.
So, okay. So help me explain this. The less likely something is to happen, that's the longer the odds are. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the long odds for me are Tim Cook lasting 5 years. I mean, maybe he'll go up to that point and then bow out, but I think it'll be before that. But it's certainly not happening next spring.
Well, okay, I think we can even cut down to the heart of this.
Okay,
I am confident that Tim Cook has been managing the company that he is CEO of towards the point at which he is no longer the CEO. Just like Steve Jobs was absolutely managing Apple the last few years of his life to outlive him. Right?
Yes.
You and I have talked about this extensively on this very show.
Mm-hmm.
And we wrote about it, at least I wrote about it at the Mac Observer.
I think we both did.
Several times.
But it was a long time ago. Yep.
And Steve put in place Apple University. Mm-hmm. And Steve was grooming Tim to take over for him. And together, they were building a management team that would largely stick with the company. Scott Forstall mm-hmm. being an exception there.
Well, you know, everyone's got to have a rebel, right?
Yeah. And I am sure that there is no way that Tim is clinging on to the leadership of the company. He's not clinging to it. He is such a methodical person. He is executing a plan, at the very least in his own head. But probably with the coordination of the board.
Oh, absolutely, the coordination of the board. It's standard practice it should be in every business, but certainly in companies that are operating on this scale, it's called succession planning.
Yeah,
and you have a plan for what happens if your CEO or other top C-suite executives are suddenly gone tomorrow. And I mean, it could be like someone's just like, you know what? I'm done. Bye. And walks out the door. Or a toilet from the space station hits them, crashes down to Earth and hits them and kills them. You have that short-term succession plan. And then you have your mid-range succession plan where if you realize, oh, we have to accelerate a transition, you've got that in place. But then you're always working towards your long-term succession plan. And so my assumption when I started hearing all these reports, because it just wasn't making sense to me that Tim would be leaving in the spring, even though if he wants to, go for it. I think that Apple internally has been doing what any company would do responsibly, which is evaluating their succession plans. And I mean, simple as that. I think that's what was going on.
That's fair. I will add that. So, okay. Going back many years now, when Apple released Apple Watch, that was the first product that started life. That was conceived and they started implementing it after Steve Jobs passed. Mm-hmm. And it was the first significantly new product that they released after Steve's death. Right. Mm-hmm. And this has stood out for me. It has stood out for me so hard. There was this moment at the media event after the Apple Watch had been announced where, and I know that you and I have talked about this. I don't know that I've ever really adequately described it, but the cameras are like basically, still the show was ended, and this is back when they were doing live shows, right? Mm-hmm. The media events were still live, and the cameras were on the stage, and like, you know, the credits were rolling, and I don't know that credits were actually rolling, but it was that, you know, that part of the event. You know, he'd said goodbye. He'd said like, thank mm-hmm. you, you know, yeah. thank you for attending and whatnot. And he does this thing where he his shoulders collapse, and he kind of does this kind of emotion of expression on his face. Do you know what I mean by that?
Like the, and we got through it kind of thing.
Yes. Yes. It is a universal human expression. Mm-hmm. And he did that expression, which, I mean, I'm sorry, Tim Cook doesn't emote a lot, when, you know, especially when he's speaking publicly. And it just really stood out for me that, like, how much of a relief it was for him to get out this product, to mm-hmm. to bring a new product after Steve died. I mean, I feel like we have all completely blown off how amazing it was that Tim Cook shepherded Apple Inc. through and past Steve Jobs' death.
Yeah, you know, good point. That was a monumental undertaking.
It was a monumental achievement. And the fact that most of the senior management circle is still there. At least a lot of the senior management circle is still there. Steve died in 2010 or 2011.
I don't Steve even remember.
Jobs died 2011. Yeah, it was October. It was like, you know, a month ago. October 5th, 2011. And still, to this day, most of his leadership circle is still there. That is an astounding achievement.
Actually, yeah. That really is. I mean, look at other companies that are operating on this level. And yeah, I think you're going to find a lot more turnover.
Yeah. And at the very least, when the new guy took over, he'd probably want to ditch everyone. Right? Or, you know, there would be infighting and there would be people, you know, like, well, Scott Forstall thinking that Tim was making a mistake by apologizing for Apple Maps. And Tim fired him.
Yeah,
right?
He did.
Those kinds of schisms can easily happen when you've got personalities that were as strong as Steve Jobs and the various people that he had put in place to lead the company with him. So the fact that Tim kept those people together, kept the company going, kept it growing, kept it innovating is astounding.
Yes. And Tim has now been CEO longer than Steve Jobs ever was.
Is that count both stints?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
How long was Steve Jobs CEO?
Actually, I think
you know, top men.
Steve may actually still own that crown, but regardless, the reality is that the next CEO is going to actually have to usher in a new generation of senior management too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Eddie Q, how old is Eddie Q? Has got to be Eddie Q age.
I don't know. What is he, like 312?
He's 61. He's a year older. No, he's 4 years younger than Tim Cook. Phil Schiller is, you know, he's all but an emeritus executive at this point, right? I don't think he even has he's 65 too. I don't think he has a title anymore. Well, he's a prominent figure. He's an Apple fellow. Yeah. He hasn't been like, you know, senior VP in charge of advertising for a while. And, Craig Federighi is probably one of the younger people, but, didn't he recently step down or announce his retirement? Craig,
I think so.
Jaws.
All right. So while you're looking that up, I looked up some information on Steve Jobs' length as CEO.
Yeah.
Okay. So his first stint, 1976 to 1985, he was never CEO during his first stint at Apple before he was run out.
Oh, I thought he was.
So he became CEO when he returned, when he was the interim CEO. And so that was September 16th, 1997 to January 5th, 2000. So that was 141 days. And then from January 5th until his resignation, August 24th, 2011, so he was CEO and ICEO combined, 5,090 days. And on August 24th, 2011, Tim Cook hit 5,091 days. So as of, let's see, hold on. So yeah, August 1, 2025, that's when Tim Cook hit 5,091. So yeah, Tim Cook has been CEO longer than Steve Jobs was.
Interesting. Jozwiak is actually currently, by the way, the senior vice president of worldwide marketing. So he hasn't
Oh, left. Okay.
Anyway, the point is Apple is due for some generational changes because everybody's getting older.
Yeah. All right. Well, then let me ask you a question. What do you think about the speculation that John Ternus will be the next CEO? He's currently senior vice president of hardware engineering.
That would be okay. So another thing that
we've seen him present at events,
right? We have. I find it more interesting to talk about Ternus in the abstract from the standpoint that Steve Jobs famously said that you need a product guy in charge of a company like Apple.
Mm-hmm.
And then he picked an operations guy to be in to be in charge of Apple. Right?
Well, you know, Steve's got to be Steve.
Yeah, I've been thinking about that since I remember thinking it was ridiculous that when people were speculating that Tim Cook would take over Apple when Steve stepped down. And that was due entirely to Steve saying that you need a product guy in charge of a company like Apple. And it turned out that he, you know, he was, Steve was definitely a, do as I mean and not as I say kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, but yeah. I've been wondering who would the operations guy pick to take the company over from him. And I feel like Apple does need a product guy. I feel like I said once upon a time that Tim Cook was the only person who could have shepherded Apple without turmoil through Steve Jobs' death. That was another thing that we've talked a lot about on the show. That I did my presentation at the MacStock a jillion bajillion years ago.
I remember that. I was there.
And while I think that was true, I would like to see a product person in charge of Apple again.
Well, okay, so
and John Ternus is a product guy. He's in hardware. I don't know enough about him to really have an opinion on whether or not he could take over the company.
All right, so let's see. So he joined the design team in 2001 and has been vice president of hardware engineering since 2013. He's overseen hardware engineering work on every generation and model of iPad, latest iPhone lineups, and AirPods. And he was part of the team leading the transition from Intel to Apple Silicon for the Mac.
Impressive credentials.
Let's see what Wikipedia has to say about him. Anything exciting? Let's see. He began his career as a mechanical engineer designing virtual reality headsets. First product he worked on at Apple was the Apple Cinema Display.
A good one.
So in 2020, he was put in charge of iPhone hardware. And put in charge of Apple Watch hardware in late 2022. He's apparently the youngest member on Apple's executive team. He is charismatic and well-liked.
Well, so I would think that Tim would not want a caretaker taking over Apple. Apple is not a company that needs a caretaker. And anyone from the ranks, anyone from the storied ranks of Apple's executive team is going to be someone who, if one of them became CEO of Apple tomorrow, he also would not be, he or she would not be CEO of Apple in 5 years. So John Ternus has both the experience and the youth that might make him attractive to Apple and the board. That's interesting.
Yeah, I read a thing, and I really can't remember what it was, but it was talking about how Ternus is seen within Apple, and apparently he is level-headed in that he never says anything controversial in emails or written communications.
That's not good.
Well, it depends on how you interpret that. Like, does that mean that he knows how to not say things that are going to bite him or the company in their collective ass?
Yeah, but Apple doesn't need that. Apple needs someone with strong opinions in charge of the company.
Well, that's strong opinions. That's not the same thing as saying you know how to craft an email that doesn't come across as inflammatory or derogatory.
I'm calling shenanigans, man. Can you imagine Steve ever worrying about this?
No, Steve didn't worry about anything that anyone else thought, generally speaking. I wish I knew where I read that thing, because it had more information, and it was interesting, because it's like, huh, well, how do you interpret that? Anyhow, if I ever find it, I'll let everyone know. It'll end up in our show notes at some point.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, the last thing I wanted to get into on this topic was whether or not there's one more product that Tim wants to see done and released before he steps down. And that could be the robot. Tabletop robot. I mean, like, is there it? I'm talking about from the standpoint of both his legacy and also protecting and projecting forward Steve's legacy.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, would that be the robot? Is there something else that he has in mind?
I don't know, right? I would have said that that Apple Vision Pro could have been that product. But, you know, it's several years old now.
Well, it's, what, 2 years old now?
Okay, 2 years old now.
And, okay, with Vision Pro, yeah, mostly pedantic. With Vision Pro, Tim has made it clear that this is a long tail project.
Yeah.
So I see that as something that he's setting up for his successor to be able to run with.
Okay.
Down the road. Because, I mean, it's clear what Apple wants is to reinvent the your primary computing platform.
Yeah.
And that's what Vision Pro is going for.
Yeah.
And it's not there yet, but you have to start somewhere.
Yep. Well, yeah, the near term completion of that idea is when we can have glasses that are not heavy goggles. That are projecting information on our vision for us to see, and the long term completion of that is some kind of either contact lenses or neural implant that will project the information onto our vision for us.
Okay, so. So right now, there's me and all of our listeners that are Futurama fans, and we're all laughing at the description you just gave. So for all of their benefit, shut up and take my money.
Yeah.
They all know the joke.
Yeah. So
go watch Futurama.
Right. And what I was saying with the near term and the long term goal for what is Apple Vision Pro today, it is not having these freaking heavy goggles on our face.
Oh, absolutely correct.
But Apple had to start somewhere.
Exactly. Yep.
So I don't know if it's the next generation. The rumors that have circulated about Apple Vision Pro have largely been about the Apple Vision Pro, but less big and maybe even less, you know, faster, but with fewer bells and whistles. That is another stepping stone. That is not a near-term goal or a long-term goal, in my opinion.
It's a piece going towards a long-term goal. Yeah, stepping stone. Yeah.
Stepping stone. So it could be the tabletop robot. I mean, I feel like Apple feels that there's money to be made in the robotics world.
I think you're right. Yeah. I am very interested to see what Apple does in that space. And I expect that whenever Apple announces whatever they're doing, which probably is what Apple's mouthpiece, Telegerman, has said.
Yeah,
which is it's on the countertop and kind of follows you with like the Luxo lamp head sort of thing.
And
I think there's a lot of people that will see that and they'll be like, "Well, Apple's really lost the plot, and no one knows what they're doing, and that's ridiculous. And why would you want that?"
And people will buy it in droves.
And then people will buy it, and it will evolve, and and much like the same path that Apple Watch gave us. And I mean, and look at Apple Watch today. It is the premier smartwatch.
Yep. It's the premier watch, says the watch guy.
Oh, yeah. Says the watch guy. Well, yeah.
All right. Should we talk about Framer?
I would love to hear about Framer.
Framer is a free, full-featured design tool. Think unlimited projects, unlimited pages, unlimited collaborators, and all the essentials. You get vector products, 3D transforms, gradients, wireframes, everything you need to design totally free. Framer is your entire workflow in one place. No Figma imports, no messy HTML. It's faster, cleaner, and more efficient. And you can design more than websites. Framer lets you create social assets, campaign visuals, icons, even site resources, all inside the tool. No switching back and forth. And then Framer stands above the others because it's not just a site builder. Framer is a huge design tool that also publishes professional, production-ready sites. Framer already built the fastest way to publish beautiful, production-ready websites. And it's now redefining how we design for the web. With the recent launch of Design Pages, a free canvas-based design tool, Framer is more than a site builder. It's a true all-in-one design platform, from social assets to campaign visuals to vectors and icons, all the way to a live site. Framer is where ideas go live, start to finish. So if you're ready to design, iterate, and publish all-in-one tool, you can start creating for free at framer.com/design. And use code TCM for a free month of Framer Pro. That's framer.com/design and use promo code TCM. Framer.com/design, promo code TCM. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, thanks, Framer.
Yeah, thank you very much, Framer. We appreciate the sponsorship. And let's see here. We also have... CNN.
Speaking of abandoning ship.
Yeah. CNN making the moves. Making the big, bold. So you might remember CNN as the company that launched a big deal subscription service and then killed it.
Oh, yeah. The service that lasted, what, a couple days?
Yeah. Yeah, and the newest information is that they're pulling out, they have pulled out, actually, of allowing their content to be presented on Apple News Plus. And I find that super interesting in a not interesting kind of way.
In a not interesting kind of way, yeah.
So, in particular... The thing that really stood out for me, so Semaphore originally broke this news. We'll have a link to the Semaphore article. Well, we can link to a 9-to-5 Mac piece also, because Semaphore will be behind a paywall for some. And there's one particular paragraph that really stood out for me. And that is, other media, I'm quoting from Semaphore, other media companies have been wary of relying too much on traffic and revenue from a tech platform, concerned about sacrificing their direct relationship with their audience. They point to a generation of failed digital media startups that relied heavily on Facebook for distribution, only to see the platform turn its back on news. And I think that it is astoundingly myopic and utterly stupid to compare a company like Apple to a company like Facebook. That's the thing that's been sort of like gnawing at me since this story broke a couple of days ago.
Okay. Yeah. It's, well, okay. Yeah, good point. Meta's business model is radically different from Apple's business model.
Yeah. It is utterly different. And the one thing that would make sense to me is if CNN thinks it can get more money out of Apple. That you know, get on with your bad self. If they can do that, and if they can pull it off. But worrying about Apple turning its back on news when Apple News Plus is not a big part of Apple's revenue stream or their empire is silly.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, when I look at Apple News as a part of Apple's business, of course, part of the plan is it needs to be something that generates revenue. But I feel like the way Apple is approaching this goes back to what you were saying a minute ago, fundamentally different from companies like Meta. Apple is creating a news nexus point, if you will. So people have a single place to go to look at all the various news sources that they're interested in, and then generate revenue through providing that service. Contrast that with Meta, Facebook, specifically in this case, where the purpose is to keep people on a platform, Facebook, and charge news outlets so that they can, meaning Meta, generate their own revenue. I mean, they're coming at this from completely different angles.
Yeah.
And not using Apple News. Okay, we don't have numbers about how many people actually use this daily, but anecdotally, I would think there's a significant number of people that rely on Apple News as their aggregate source for the news content they're looking for daily.
Yeah, I would. I think so too. And as to iterate what you just said, we don't know the numbers, but the reality is that the reports that I've seen that have come from that have been sourced from inside publications that have distribution deals with Apple, they like Apple's money. Mm-hmm. And Apple's money might even be keeping some of them, some of the doors open.
I would like to know more about the sources that Semaphore used for some of the information in their piece. So you called out one paragraph. I'm going to call out a section of another. It says, Apple News drives millions of views and impressions a month to many news organizations, while participation in Apple News Plus, which offers users content, paywalled publications for about $10 a month, has yielded millions in annual revenue for publishers. And it goes on to say that People, Inc. and Condé Nast have enthusiastically embraced Apple News as a key source for viewers.
Right. Here's what I think. I think that CNN thinks that people will pay CNN for a subscription. And not, and if that if they can't it, I think that CNN thinks that if people can't get their content on Apple News or Apple News Plus, that they will instead pay CNN for a subscription to whatever their new subscription service is going to offer. And I think that is, I'm piggybacking off of something that you said before we start recording. This sounds a lot like GM thinking that if they don't let people use CarPlay, that those people will instead buy subscriptions to GM's frickin' navigation service and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like both of those positions are delusional.
Yeah. Okay, so very important rule in business is make it easy for people to give you money. And it looks like from anecdotal information that I have, and from the information in this Semaphore piece, where we don't know where they got all of their data. It seems like this is an avenue that makes it easy for people to give money to CNN.
That Apple News Plus is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. So I don't like this. I feel like CNN is got its head up its corporate butt. And I expect them to come back to Apple News Plus.
Yes, I agree. And I have a bit of an information update for you because, you know, top men. And
are you going to obviate the last like 20 minutes of our show?
Nope. I'm going to. Okay. So, you know, a few minutes ago, I said, wow, we don't know where Semaphore is getting this information about sales. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that they're getting it from themselves. So there was an article from May 2024 where they talk about Apple and Apple News actually being the lifeline that's keeping a lot of these news sources alive.
Mm. Right.
I'll make sure there's a link to that in the show notes too.
Excellent. All right. I think I'll drop in a note that you should like cancel your Spotify subscriptions.
Okay.
That company.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
That company is awful. They're just an awful company.
Okay. As long as we're going down this rabbit hole, I'll tell you one of the things that currently really, really bothers me about Spotify is the whole thing with they're having their own music created.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is, or at least some of it is AI generated. Yep. Or LLM generated. And the purpose is so that when you're searching for a type of music that you want to listen to, instead of playing the artists that you want to hear, they're playing their own music instead, which means that they're keeping more money in their pockets and not putting it into the pockets of artists.
Right. They're slipping at the very least. And this is definitely limited to a sort of subset of their own playlists. They're slipping mm-hmm. in their own AI-generated content so that so they don't have to pay out royalties on that content. So, you know, if instead of having, you know, 20 songs in an hour or 15 songs in an hour that they're having to pay royalties on, instead they'll have to pay royalties on, you know, 8 or 10. And the other bits are their crap, and they're just assuming that people won't notice, and largely people don't. And it is an awful, awful thing to do. And they pay out less than everybody else to artists in the first place. So yeah. I don't care for Spotify. They are, they're a rotten company. So yeah, kill your Spotify subscriptions.
This has been a public service announcement from Brian Chaffin.
Yes. Yes, it has. And on that happy note, let's do this. And that is this week's Apple Context. Nope. That's this week's Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on that or question, you can write us at contextmachinepodcast@gmail.com. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass is by Dr. Boom, recorded just for this show. And that's it for this week, Jeff.
Yeah. Also, hey, thank you to Framer for being our sponsor this week. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. Thank you very much, Framer. And here we go. I think I'm supposed to do that. Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.